In 1856, a woman named Kate Warren walked into the world-famous Pinkerton Detective Agency and asked for a job. They'd never hired a woman to be anything other than a secretary, but she impressed them so much they made her America's first female detective. She caught bank robbers, murderers, and stopped the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Which makes me wonder...
Why is this not a movie?
Hello and welcome to Why Is This Not a Movie, the podcast where we look at a moment in history or a book or a story we can rip from the headlines and ask Hollywood why no one's ever put it onto the big screen. I'm Mike Vago, and before we get into it this week, just a quick announcement that next week is the end of season 2 of the podcast. I'm taking the rest of the summer off. But fear not, I'll spend my time roping in more guests and drumming up more movie ideas. We'll be back with season 3 in September. Now, the remarkable story of Kate Warren. Way back in episode 3, we talked about Mary Bowser, the black spy in the Confederate White House, and how very little is known about her life because she was a very good spy. We get a similar situation with Kate Warren, who would also eventually work as a Union spy. While we do know a lot about her colorful career with the Pinkertons, we don't know a whole lot about her early life, just that she was from the tiny town of Erin, New York, which even today is only 4 blocks long, and by age 23 was already a widow. And she herself died in her mid-30s, what was then called congestion of the lungs, probably pneumonia. But in between, she led a remarkable life. It had to take quite a bit of gumption to walk into the Pinkerton Detective Agency and demand a job at 23. The Pinkertons were and still are a private security firm, formed in 1850, which very quickly became a powerful American institution. Before there was an FBI, the Department of Justice subcontracted investigations to the Pinkertons. Warren walked into the office of Allen Pinkerton, the head of the agency, and forcefully made the argument that the fact that they didn't hire women was exactly why they should hire her. As a woman, she could go places men couldn't. She could befriend the wives and girlfriends of suspects more easily than a man could, and men tended to boast around young women. And because there were no female detectives, no one would ever suspect her of being a detective. Pinkerton was convinced, and he put her on an embezzlement case. True to her word, she befriended the prime suspect's wife and got enough evidence to put her husband away. Pinkerton was so impressed, he started hiring more women and put Warren in charge of them. Warren spent several years solving crimes and directing fellow agents to do the same. We don't have much detail on her day-to-day work, just the case that made her famous, the assassination plot against Abraham Lincoln. Now, we're not getting into Inglourious Basterds territory here. Warren didn't stop John Wilkes Booth at Ford's Theater. But 5 years earlier, Lincoln was president-elect, and the South had not yet succeeded, but they were furious that a Northern abolitionist had been elected, and all kinds of treasonous sentiment was in the air, from secession and civil war to the murder of the new president. Despite the danger, Lincoln was making a whistle-stop tour from Springfield, Illinois, to the White House, and refused to change his itinerary despite numerous threats against him. So the Philadelphia, Wilmington, and Baltimore Railroad hired the Pinkertons to protect the president-elect. Warren disguised herself as a Southern belle and invited herself to social gatherings in Baltimore, far south enough to be a hotbed of secessionist talk, but far north enough she could easily slip away if need be. With civil war seeming inevitable, no one felt the need to be particularly quiet about their traitorous plans, so Warren very quickly learned not only of a plot to assassinate Lincoln on his way to the inauguration, but when and how it was to take place. The last leg of Lincoln's train tour would take him from Harrisburg, PA to Washington, with a stop in Baltimore. Pre-Civil War, Southern Railroads used a different gauge track than the North, so every passenger heading south from Baltimore had to switch trains. A carriage would take Lincoln from one train to the other, a distance of about a mile. The plan was to stage a fight to distract the police, so a mob could rush in and kill Lincoln before he could board the second train. Pinkerton met with Lincoln personally to warn him, and Honest Abe still refused to believe he was in danger. It was only when incoming Secretary of State William Seward also got wind of the same plot, Lincoln decided he needed to protect himself. Pinkerton and Warren put their own plan into action to keep the new president safe. Lincoln made an appearance at a dinner in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, as planned, but left early, changed clothes, and wrapped himself in a shawl to disguise himself as an invalid. He boarded an earlier train than planned, and Pinkerton cut telegraph lines to make sure no one could learn of the change in schedule. Warren was waiting for him at the train station and loudly greeted her ailing brother and helped him onto the train. She stood watch over him all night, prompting the Pinkertons' eventual slogan, "We never sleep." The would-be assassins laying in wait for Lincoln's carriage were in for disappointment. Lincoln had already been and gone. Instead of moving him from one train to another by carriage, they moved his entire sleeping car, with him and Warren on board, to the train that took him to Washington. 2 months later, Confederates fired on Fort Sumter, and the Pinkertons were enlisted as an intelligence agency for the duration of the war. Warren again and again infiltrated social gatherings in the South, her accent convincing enough that Confederate society women thought nothing of sharing secrets with her. Pinkerton sometimes went with her, and they posed as husband and wife often enough that people assumed he was cheating on his wife with her. When she died, he had her buried in his family plot, and his will stipulated their burial plot could never be disturbed. But we're jumping ahead. After the war, she was the Pinkerton star agent for several years until her untimely death. But if we're making a movie, I'm not sure how relevant that is, and that's the biggest question I have here. Warren is a fascinating figure, she has a terrific story, but I'm not sure how best to tell it. I could very easily see a weekly procedural with Warren solving 19th century crime and saving Lincoln in a very special episode. But you could also make a movie focusing solely on the assassination plot, maybe with one other quick case as a James Bond-style prologue. And that's a very satisfying beginning, middle, end story, and a great bit of history most people don't know. But it isn't all that thrilling a movie. There's no big shootout at the end, just Lincoln wrapped in a blanket, taking an earlier train. So you either fudge history and have him just narrowly escape the murderous mob, or you make this one story out of many. I'm leaning towards the latter. Everyone loves a detective story, and we've seen some great period pieces about singular independent women, from Mrs. Maisel to The Queen's Gambit. Full disclosure, there was a series called The Pinkertons, in which Kate Warren was the main character, but it ran for one season in syndication in Canada back in 2014, and then we can take another crack at it. So with a series, the question of who directs isn't always an obvious one, as it's rare for a series to stick with just one director. But you can still find someone to direct the pilot in a significant number of episodes and kind of set the tone for the series. So the first name I looked at there was Tim Van Patten. He directed more episodes than anyone of The Sopranos and Boardwalk Empire, as well as the first few episodes of the Perry Mason reboot, so period crime dramas are right in his wheelhouse. As for the cast, the whole thing hinges on finding a good Kate Warren. I looked at actresses in their mid-20s, only a bit older than Warren was when she was hired by the Pinkertons. I think it's worth accentuating this is a young woman who people underestimate. So my first thought was Hailee Steinfeld in True Grit and Edge of 17, who's still only 24. She was 14 when she filmed True Grit, and could already play someone tough and smart and no-nonsense, which is how we want our Kate Warren to come across. I also like Caitlin Dever from Booksmart and Short Term 12. She's the same age but looks younger, and it's kind of easier to dismiss, but she can also play the smartest person in the room. Now, Alan Pinkerton was 42 at the time of the plot against Lincoln, so I started looking at actors who were in their early 40s, and man, do people age better now than they did back then. Chris Pratt is 42, and if you look at old photos of Pinkerton, he looks like Chris Pratt should be playing one of his kids. So I went about a decade older, looking for someone who looks now what adults looked like 150 years ago. And I landed on Peter Sarsgaard. He's 50, but he doesn't look his age either, so it kind of balances out. And he can play someone serious with authority, but also clever enough to be two moves ahead of everyone else. And he's somebody who, I like him a lot as an actor, and his track record of movies isn't great. He's been in some good things, but he's also been in some so-so movies, and I feel like he's, you know, somebody's deserving of another good role. It does make a romance with Hailee Steinfeld pretty skeevy, but it was pretty skeevy back then, too. And I guess the character age is a little more important than the actor age. And then, of course, the big question, who plays Abraham Lincoln? I don't think you can just call up Daniel A. Lewis and say, hey, do that thing again. But reading up online about Lincoln, I came across a link to an article about how Tom Hanks is related to Lincoln. Just one of those clickbait things, but, you know, there's a little bit of resemblance. We think of Lincoln as a somber figure who presided over this awful war and saw it as his God-given mission to put an end to slavery. He also did have a very playful side, and this is when he's going into office and hasn't yet had the stress of managing a war. And in this instance in particular, he didn't seem to really take the threat seriously at first, and just seems unserious in general. And you can kind of see him having a little fun dressing up and sneaking around as the plot unfolds. So I think Hanks kept a lot of fun playing Honest Abe, and of course we know what a history buff Tom Hanks is, but if we called him right now, he wouldn't be able to say no. And if we make this a series, then you expand the cast and add other women who worked under Warren, and you can bring in a parade of great character actors as the villain of the week. But those are really the principal players, whether this is a movie or a series, and it could be either one. So that's our movie, or series. And I know this is a short episode, just to be straightforward, I went on vacation last weekend, and weekends are usually when I make these things. So just wanted to do a quick one to keep the show going, but I have a fantastic guest with an amazing story next week. So please tune into that. It'll be the season finale of season two, and again, taking the rest of the summer off, be back in September with more fantastic episodes. In the meantime, if you have any ideas for other movies that need to get made, or any thoughts about Kate Warren or Abe Lincoln, hit us up on Twitter at YMovie, and you can read student journalism here at College Radio and listen to other lesser podcasts on our parent website, subjectmedia.org. Stay safe out there, get your shot, keep yourself sane, we'll be back next time on
Why is this not a movie?